mindset shifts that we have to make when we're trying to become more like Christ. And what were those? The first of those, if you remember, and they're on your screen, the first of those, Pete, show us what that is. If we're going to change our priorities and make them more like Jesus, we're going to have to learn how to move our mindset from thinking about physical things to move more toward thinking about spiritual things. We're going to move the way we think. We got to focus less on spiritual things, less on physical things, more on spiritual things. The second thing we talked about, we've got to move from sight, living with sight, making what we see the major thing that we focus on, to understanding what it means to live by faith and to live by what we can't see. Many of you will hear about Monvi over the next few months. That is an online spiritual growth tool that we're going to be rolling out progressively to the church over the next few months. And I did the assessment this week, as some of the staff and the elders are working toward that. And my assessment is that I've got to learn, my big thing, and this is so true for me, I've got to learn how to trust God for the outcomes. Because with my personality type, the way I live life, I'm a person that likes to make things happen. I'm what's called an activator. Activators are typically those kind of people who want to make things happen, right? And when the things don't happen the way you want them to happen, you tend to get a little frustrated. And so we tend to take things into our own hands. We tend not to live by faith, but rather to live more by sight. So that's a challenge for me over here entered the second half of life. The third shift that we were talking about was moving from urgency to importance. How do we allow the things that are urgent in our lives? Why do we allow those things to drive our scheduling, to drive our energy, to drive the way we spend our time, our money, etc.? God wants us to understand what's really important and to allow the things that are really important to drive what we do and how we schedule and how we spend our time. Fourth, we talked about moving from greed to generosity. This is a focus that really has more to do with trusting God to provide for me as long as, I am obeying His desire for me to be generous with my money, with my time, with my energy, with everything. I hope that you're a generous person. One of the best things to do is to become generous, even more generous, in a time of economic troubles, and that's what we're in right now, because that is countercultural. Jesus was countercultural. Jesus is countercultural. Well, this particular commandment, you must not use the name of the Lord your God. You must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Commandment number three is a very important one. We're still in this first four commandment phase where we're talking about the vertical relationship between us and God. And God wants us to really focus on understanding what it means to live for Him and to make our speech consistent with a lifestyle that puts Him first. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to go ahead and give you the fill in the blanks. I want to help you understand. Some people said, hey, I like the way you talked with the board a few weeks ago, so that's great. I pulled it out again today. And I hope you can see this. I got to get me some real thick markers. Somebody help me remember that I got to get some really thick markers. But what I want to do, I'll draw this little line, this little continuum right here. And we're going to talk today about three levels of speech, three levels of negative speech. And I'm going to go ahead and give you what they are. If you want to go ahead and fill in 1, 2, 3, that's fine. The first of those is idle talk. Can y'all see that? Is that better? Can anybody see that? Can y'all see it in the back? Can y'all see it? Don McBain, can you see it? You're a CPA. You can see everything. Part of it. Okay. Idle talk, okay, is that first one. All right. The second thing that I want to focus on here is a word called vanity. And vanity, can y'all see the green better? Yeah. You can see the green better? Okay, good. All right. This is idle talk, okay? This is vanity, and this is blasphemy. Three levels of negative speech that we tend to enter into if we're not careful. And as our co-host today, who did defeat me for the host for the show, Moses Letterman, I can't believe I got beat by that guy. He mentioned that a lot of times we don't even know we do these things. And what I want us to do today, I want to challenge you to think about a couple things. Number one, whenever we see a continuum here, obviously, idle talk is a big deal. We'll talk about what that is. Vanity is using the name's Lord in vain, the Lord's name in vain. Okay, blasphemy is kind of the worst of it all because that's kind of like blasting God. That's kind of saying negative things against Him, and so being accusatory to Him. And so as this continuum moves from left to right, things get more serious. All of us, at least in our minds, have an intention. We've got a line somewhere, In other words, there's a line over which we try not to move. Does that make sense? There is a line for us of acceptable speech. Now, for many of us, hopefully, I want us to drive toward the reality or toward moving that line back to here. But I want you to think right now about where your line is in life. Where is your line? And we're going to leave this up here, and I want you to think about this as we move through our message today. Is your line here? Okay, you just want to make sure you don't want to blaspheme God. Is your line here? You just want to make sure you don't use the Lord's name in vain in the traditional senses that we think about, right? Because we all kind of have our ideas globally about what it means to use the Lord's name in vain. It's a whole lot more than using the name of God and then a curse word right after it. As we said earlier today, all the things on the top 10 that we showed you are definitely ways in which we can fall into using the name of the Lord in vain. And we don't even think about those things. We think about the real blatant things, the curse word kind of, the GD kind of thing, right? And for many people, that's all they know. That's all they think about in terms of using the Lord's name in vain. So their idea is, okay, anything I say that stops short of that, I'm okay with. Wrong. Wrong. The Bible talks a whole lot more about our speech. So the goal today is for us to learn a little bit better how to regularly be in a, hopefully you brush your teeth at least two or three times a day, right? We clean out our teeth. We want to clean out our mouths, not only from the standpoint of bacteria, our teeth clean and all that kind of thing, but we want to make sure that we clean out our mouth in terms of our speech. Now, but Bud, what if we're thinking that stuff and we just don't say it? Isn't it just as bad to think it without saying it? Well, yeah, probably so. But the less you say it, I believe the less you'll think it. Does that make sense? If we make conscious efforts to shift the outcomes and change the outcomes, then you know what that does? That changes the source of the outcome. And so our thoughts will be different if we clean up the way we talk. We won't think as much in the way that would cause us to say those words and to say those things perhaps about other people. Does that make sense? Okay, so let's look at what idle talk, vanity, and blasphemy are today, just for a few minutes. Now, keep in mind, too, that God is an emotional being. When people say bad things about you, do you get your feelings hurt sometimes? Or do you have an emotion? So maybe it's not a feeling. Maybe it's a little angry or something. Is there something emotional that kind of wells up inside of you when somebody says something negative about you? Sure. For the vast majority of you, absolutely. Well, you know what? God is the same way. God said, let us make man in our own image. Part of the image of God is that we as human beings are emotional creatures. Jesus was an emotional creature, is an emotional creature. He's not a creature. He was God, right? He didn't get created. But he is an emotional being, entity. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit are emotional entities, beings. And so their feelings get hurt too when we say things that degrade them. And not just things that we say directly about them or to them, but when we also, when somebody says something about a member of your family, ugly, what happens then? What happens then? Many of you, and I know you, you get a whole lot more upset about somebody saying something about your kid or your spouse than you would about them saying something about you. Is that right? How do you think Jesus feels? How do you think God the Father feels when we say things that degrade other members of his family? He's an emotional being, an emotional entity. He loves his people, but he doesn't love it when his people talk about his people. Does that make sense? So let's delve into this a little bit today and see how far we can get in the time that we've got. Now, statistics tell us, I've told you this before, this is nothing new, that on average, women typically speak around 30,000 words a day, men speak around 10,000, okay? Whether you believe that, and that's flip-flopped. In my household, it's different. I speak more than my wife does. She's the introvert, I'm the extrovert. But it just so happens that most ladies tend to be more extroverted than men, all right? So the point is this, out of the 30,000 words a day or the 10,000 words a day, or if you're like Dwayne Ellison of our drama team, 80,000 words a day, okay? Whatever the number is, you want to make sure that you make them count, right? You want to make sure that you make them count. Now, it's important because our words are an investment. They're an investment of our effort. They're an investment of our thinking. They're an investment of our activities, etc. So what I want us to do today is consider this continuum. Now, we're going to stay for most of the time, and we don't have a lot of time, so we got to rush today. We're going to stay most of the time down here because I'm a firm believer that if we can understand how to manage the less severe, maybe the less severe end of the spectrum, does that make sense? Then we're less likely to move this way toward the more severe end of the spectrum. Does that make sense? If we can focus on learning how to control ourselves here and make the shifts that we need in our lives down here, then you know what? It's going to be a little bit easier to have to deal with these situations. We'll be less likely to venture this way. Are you with me on that? So let's do this. Let's talk about what idle talk is. Idle talk, the way I've defined that, I'm just giving you some examples. Some ways that happens is through cheap talk, gossip, off-color humor, and profanity. Anything that is profanity falls into this category. Now, profanity can get a little further, and it can get into the vanity category if we're not careful, right? It can do that in terms of using the Lord's name in vain. But, you know, whether you agree that basic profanity without using God's name in front of something else is using the Lord's name in vain or not, it's at the very best, it's idle talk. Idle simply means what? Not productive. Unnecessary. Doesn't really mean much of anything. Now, humor is great. Humor is wonderful. Humor is great when it is used to encourage and to enlighten and to help people have fun. But it becomes off color and it becomes unproductive and it becomes idle when it is used for things like silliness. I want to get attention, and so I'm just silly. Or maybe I use humor to cover something to avoid talking about something. You ever done that before? We kind of, you know, we get into a serious conversation or we see a conversation might be going seriously, and all of a sudden we inject something humorous in there, hoping to do what? Change the subject. Because the conversation might be going to a place where I might get a little uncomfortable. I really don't want to talk about that because it may do what? It may expose me for who I really am. And it may cause me to have to go to places I don't really want to go in my own mind. So here's a couple of things to think about that we need to that we need to understand. When we're talking about idle talk, keep in mind that your conversation is always going to be productive when you are asking for help or you are finding ways to help others through your conversation. You can never go wrong when you're asking for help or trying to help others with your conversation, okay? You don't have to worry about your conversation getting idle, okay? If we kind of stay that way, think about how can I help others? In what areas do I need help, all right? Nothing wrong with that. Too many people are too prideful to admit they need help, okay? Many of you need help in areas and you're too prideful to ask for it. You got areas in your life that you kind of keep compartmentalized and, you know, you kind of think, well, if I keep them over there in this locked box, it'll go away or it won't have any impact. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And you know that, but you continue to use it to justify your behavior, and you got to stop doing that. You got to learn how to ask for help, right? And so here's the other thing I would say: avoid discussion, avoid talking when your goal is either seeking attention or diverting attention away from yourself. Okay, avoid any kind of conversation that seeks to in which you would be trying to seek attention for yourself. Also, many people do this. Again, when the conversation begins to get a little close to home, they'll try to divert the attention away from them. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's not a good thing, okay? Because this might be an area of help that you need. And we deflect or divert the conversation elsewhere so we don't have to deal with those areas. You know, I remember when my mom, one of my big habits was biting my nails, okay? Even today, you know, she'd see me biting my nails, you know. Bud, stop biting your nails. And then she'll launch into a lecture, right? You know, I always try to do what? I always try to change the subject, right? I don't want to go there. And all of us have those areas, and there are other areas of our lives that are more serious, and even in mine too, where my tendency is to try to divert the attention. So here's another way we converse. We just simply talk. We talk about ourselves. Okay, we talk about ourselves sometimes, right? Avoid conversation that is centered on self-pity. Don't try to engage in conversation and your goal is for you to get other people to feel sorry for you. Okay? Don't do that. That's idle talk. It's not healthy. It's not necessary. And if you want to tell people your circumstances, right, in an effort to help other people, that's one thing. This is what I learned from that situation, and this is what I would do differently. That's great. But don't, you know, just don't pull out the little proverbial violin and, you know, be playing it all the time. Right? Because that gets old. That gets really old with people. The other thing that I would tell you to do in terms of when we talk about ourselves, avoid self-promotion. Avoid self-promotion. Just live your life. Do what you do well and acknowledge what you don't do well and let the chips fall where they may. You know, that's why one of the things, I cannot imagine what politicians go through. I mean, are these people really that arrogant and really that prideful to be able to talk about themselves that way? I mean, I'm watching professional wrestling back when I used to watch NWA, you know, when I was a kid, you know. All these guys talking about how great they were and listening to Muhammad Ali, I'm the greatest. You know, it's crazy to hear the conversation that goes on. And I'm thinking, self-promotion. Do these people talk this way in normal, regular life when they're not in the public eye? I mean, does that make sense? Tell me all the things you're going to do, all the things I can do. I'm better than this person. I'm better than this other person. It just seems to be so crazy for me. In Titus chapter 1, Paul said this. Paul said, there are many rebellious people who engage in useless talk and deceive others. This is especially true of those who insist on circumcision for salvation. They must be silenced, Paul said, because they are turning whole families away from the truth by their false teaching. And they do it for money. Now, that's just in that situation. They do it for money. But many people, they talk just to be talking. You know people like that? They talk just to talk. And sometimes their motives behind their talking, the things they say, are not very pure. 2 Thessalonians, Paul says again, yet we hear that some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work, and meddling in other people's business. We command such people and urge them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and work to earn their own living. As for the rest of you, never get tired of doing good. Here's what he's saying. The best way for you to get away from idle talk is to find productive things to do. Get busy. Figure out what it is you're good at. You got some free time? Engage in ministry. Find a way to help other people. Do some volunteer work somewhere else. But don't sit idle. Don't sit idle because, you know what, it leads us to idle talk, which comes from idle minds. And when we can learn to get rid of the idle talk, our minds become less idle. Idle, again, being unproductive. Another way, it's mindless talk sometimes. We just say things to be saying things. We tend to want to get into the business of other people a lot. Have you noticed that? That's how it's human nature. We like to be in the know. And you know what? When there's nothing to know, oftentimes what we'll do is create something to know. We'll take a little suspicion, right, and we'll just kind of blow it up, and we'll try to make these speculations, and we'll wind up jumping to conclusions about others. And those situations always turn out to be hurtful. We do it in families. We do it in church. We do it at work. We do it at the home, wherever we might be. So let's try to focus on what it means to do away with the idle talk down here. Be careful what you say. Does it add value? Now, a lot of people, they hear about this, and they kind of have these extreme personalities. Everything's black or white. There's nothing gray. And so it's like, does that mean that even jokes are wrong and, you know, I can't even be funny and da-da? No, it doesn't mean that at all. There is a difference between building people up and just being non-productive. Here's the second area, and this is where we get into the specifics of the commandment. When vanity, taking the Lord's name in vain, is all about taking God and His holiness lightly. That's what that really means. all the things that we saw this morning that Moses Letterman helped us to see had to do not necessarily with things that were blatantly anti-God, right? But we tend to fall into vanity when we simply take God's holiness lightly. The name of God, I said a few minutes ago, one of the things that we really need to learn how to do is to try to take the name of God and make it the standard for our speech. Now, that means that we need to understand what the name of God is all about. By the way, did you realize there are many, many, many names of God? Many names of God. Here are some of those in terms of the holiness of God's name. El Shaddai means God of the mountains or the Almighty God. Here's another one. El Elyon, which means the Most High God or the Exalted One. If you go back and you look at a priest named Melchizedek, who appeared a couple times in the Old Testament, who was a type or a forerunner of Jesus Christ, he was known as the King of Salem, which is another way of saying the King of Jerusalem. He was identified with El Elyon, and that was probably a pre-incarnation appearance of God himself. Here's another one, El Olam, the God of eternity, or God the Everlasting One. Here's another one, El Barith, who is the God of the covenant, which means the covenant that God established with Abraham, David, etc., on down the line. El Roi is the God who sees me, or the God of vision. Elohim, you probably heard of Elohim, right? Elohim is a plural form for the deity of God, which kind of refers back to the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And it is a very popular name in Jewish culture in terms of describing who God is and understanding who He is. So we've got to make sure that we understand what this is all about. That God's name is to be high and lifted up. We did some music today. You've already heard a lot today about God's name. God's name must become the standard for our speech. Reverence for God's holiness, reverence for God's name. When we ingrain that into our minds and we think that way, the things we say will shift. We will change the way we talk. We will change the way we behave toward other people. Well, we've heard some examples already today in a very well done and creative way about how we fall into those habits of using the Lord's name in vain. You know, one of the things that happens too, we teach and we talk about things without being prepared, right? We use God talk. You know people that use the God talk all the time? Sometimes I get in a trap when I'm around people who are always wanting to use God's name. Now, I'm not talking about it in a bad way, okay? But, you know, the Lord leads me, da-da. And just, you know what I'm talking about, just a lot of what I would hear growing up, particularly in a legalistic environment with regard to the school that I went to. And even today, I'll find myself intentionally finding ways to slip phrases about God into my conversation just so that I can impress them. Now, that's using the Lord's name in vain. There's no purpose in me doing that. I'm not doing it out of sincerity. I'm doing it what? Out of a desire to impress them, right? Now, when it's come natural, when it comes natural, that's great, right? But if I'm doing that with the motivation of just trying to impress people, then you know what? I'm the one. I'm the one who is guilty of using the Lord's name in vain, whether they're sincere or not. It's back on me at that point. So let's talk about what blasphemy is. Blasphemy is basically speaking against God and His holiness. Going against. It's one thing to speak in neutral terms. It's another thing for me to say, you know what, Don Everman is a really cool pastor. He's one of the guys around Alamance County. He's probably done more for the kingdom of God in Alamance County in my lifetime. He's probably in the top 20 people in that category. But you know what I mean? I just don't like the guy. He's just a flat-out jerk, you know. What's that, Don? Top 10. Top 10. Sorry, man. I should have asked you about that one. But see, it's one thing for me to say something about him, right? And then to turn around and knife him in the back. You know, I've just obliterated everything I said about him that was complimentary. And then I go in and I say something totally ugly about him, which, by the way, couldn't be further from the truth, right? And so, you know, we do that. And that's what happens when we blaspheme the name of the Lord. And God talked about that a lot. As a matter of fact, in Leviticus 24, verse 16, anyone who blasphemes the name of the Lord must be stoned to death by the whole community of Israel. That's big. If you were to speak against the Lord in the nation of Israel, you were to be stoned to death. Now, that says a lot about the holiness of God's name right there, right? And the reverence. The greatest attribute, the greatest asset that you and I have is our life itself. And the penalty for blaspheming God would be the loss of that great asset, great attribute. We can't let that happen. Matthew 12, here Jesus talks about the unpardonable sin, which is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Now this is, and for whatever reason, when I was growing up, the theology was that in the church that I grew up in, that the unpardonable sin was something called suicide. How many of y'all heard that somewhere in your head? See, I don't know where in the world that came from. That is so unbiblical. That had nothing to do with that, right? Now, so this passage where somehow that came out of really gives us an idea of what the unpardonable sin really is. Every sin and blasphemy can be forgiven except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which will never be forgiven, Jesus said. Anyone who speaks against the Son of Man can be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, either in this world or in the world to come. Now, there's a lot of theology behind that, but that's beyond the scope of our time today. We're not going to be able to get there today and talk about that. So, we've got idle talk, okay? This is where I really want us to focus, because the more we can get idle talk out of our minds and out of our lives, the less we're going to be in danger of doing this, used in the Lord's name in vain, right? And the less the chances are that we're going to actually do anything to blaspheme the Holy Spirit and blaspheme God. Now, I doubt any of you have ever gone around with an intention of blaspheming God. Maybe you did before you became a Christ follower, but if you're a Christ follower, I doubt real seriously that anybody has intentions of doing that if they're legitimately following Jesus. However, we can easily slip into this, and we can easily slip into this. But it's not as easy to slip into this if we are working on this part of our lives. So how do we do that? How do we do that? Let me give you four things real quick as we wrap up. How can we transform our speech? One of the best passages on how to talk is in Ephesians chapter 4. Okay? It's one of my favorite passages. There's something about those Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I was talking to somebody today who said, my favorite passage is Philippians 4. I said, wow, that's mine too, ever since I was in high school. It's something about those fourth chapters in those letters that Paul wrote. And Paul didn't do the chapter division, so he really didn't have anything to do with it. I guess it was a God thing later on. But in Ephesians chapter 4, we find so much about how we are to treat each other. So let me give you four things that I want us to consider as guidelines to carry out of here to try to find ways to shift the way we talk, to bring what we say from being non-productive to productive every time. If you'll do these four things, I guarantee that you'll see an incredible difference in your own life and in the relationships that you have with others. Your home will be transformed. Your workplace, the way you deal with people, will be changed big time if we just adopt these four things as a starting point. Here, the first thing is ask Jesus to change the way you think about Him. In verse 22 and following of Ephesians 4, throw off your old sinful nature, Paul said, and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Put on your new nature. Many of you have asked Jesus to become the Savior of your life and the director of your life, but you really don't know what that means. You don't really understand that it means putting on Him in a way. Asking Him, to download His thoughts, to make you a reflection of Him. And to ask Him to change the way we think all the time. That's a struggle. Many people, I think about a lot of things all during the day. How many different topics do you think run through your mind in a given day? How many different things do you reckon you think about? Thousands. Thousands. And you know what? It's hard to make sure that Jesus is in the backdrop of everything we think about. We've got to ask Him to do it. We've got to ask Him to change the way we think about Him. And you know what? We've got to do it daily. Daily. I've found that it's best for me to ask at the beginning of every day, God, help me think about You. Help me to see You. Help me to know You better. Help me to learn about You more. Here's the second thing. Commit to learn and communicate truth only. Now, why do I use the word commit? Here's why. Because it takes intention, right? For me to do that. I got to do it. I just got to say, I just want to think in terms of truth. I don't want to deal in speculation. I don't want to go there, right? Because speculation for most people usually leads to untruth. Our minds begin to wonder, and the human mind is powerful. It can dream up a lot of things, a lot of scenarios. I want truth. I want to get to real truth. So stop telling lies in verse 25. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. Here's the third one and my favorite one. Why don't you try to become a person about whom it is said, he or she never says anything bad about anybody? You know those people? Have you ever said that about somebody? Have you? I sure have. Man, they never say anything bad about anybody. Well, here would be a good goal for all of us to try to become that person. Yeah, oh boy. For all of us to try to become that person about whom it is said, he or she never says anything bad about anybody. I know people like that. You know, and in the past, I thought, well, you know what, they're not for real. And then as I watched them, I realized? They're for real. You can't live that way and not be for real. You can't live that way and not be for real. It just can't happen. And then finally, ask Jesus to change the way you think about others. Ask Jesus to help you change the way you think about Him. Commit to learn and communicate truth only. Become one about whom it is said he or she never says anything bad about anybody. And finally, ask Jesus to change the way you think about others. Let me read those last verses in those last two points. Verse 29. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And then verses 31 and 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. So where do we land on this? Well, the best thing for us to do, rather than just say, okay, as long as I don't use the Lord's name in vain, I'm okay, is no, don't start there. Start back here. Start with the things that cause us to say things that may not be as far as the severity of vanity or using the Lord's name in vain. But let's look at the other things that we say. How can I change the way I talk around home, around work, around church, on the ball field? How can I do the things that God wants me to do? To say the things that He wants me to say, to speak the way He wants me to speak. And if I can deal with those issues here, you know what? There's going to be a whole lot less chance that I even get close to this. Does that make sense? So often we in the church, we look at a penalty or look at a situation or a sin that's drastic. And certainly using the name of the Lord's vain, Lord's name in vain is drastic. It's a big deal. It's huge. But you know what? I encourage you, rather than focus on that, focus here. Focus here. Because a lot of times, if we allow idle talk to enter our lives and it becomes habitual in our minds and in our lives, this becomes more likely to be a habit. It really does. I've also known people who seems like they just talk in order to cuss. You know what I mean? Their purpose for talking is so they can cuss. You know, just normal conversation, no need for a profane word, they just slip it in there. Why? What productive value is there in that? Now, I went through this stage when I was 11 or 12 or 13 or what. I thought it was cool to do that, right? And then I don't know what happened. I became a Christian at 14, so I guess that is what happened. And I realized, you know, that just doesn't make much sense. Why do that? It doesn't really add anything. And if I'm supposed to be serving God and being a representative of Him, you know what? Every part of my life needs to be pretty clean, right? God wants your life and my life. He wants us to be clean, okay? But around work, you don't know what it's like. People use that language all the time, and I just fall into it. Why? Why? Where's your strength of character? Where's your strength of character? Why do you have to be like everybody else? If we're going to make the holiness of Jesus' name the standard for our speech, then you know what? That is the first thing that you need to do. And then you know you just need to allow everything else kind of to fall out of that. Okay? Live by that every day. Live by these four things. Ask God to allow you to do these things every day. And by the way, you don't have to use ugly words to be ugly in the way you speak. I hear things about you in your workplaces. And people, are they really that way at church? No, they're not like, I don't see them at all like that. They're totally opposite. We don't have to be that way. The commandment is about the holiness of God. But the holiness of God has a lot to do with the way that He loves His people and the way that we treat each other on a horizontal plane has a lot to do with how God sees us treating Him. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So when we treat other people the way we should treat them, we are holding the name of Jesus high. Does that make sense? And when we focus on Him, we are holding His name high. When we are speaking pleasurably and honestly about Him and about those that He loves, His family, He is pleased. I believe that you're here today and your desire is to please God. That's what you really want to do. And so here are some ideas, some thoughts today about how we can do that in pleasing Him and holding His name high. Let's pray and ask God to bless that endeavor in our lives. Father, thank You for Your love and Your grace and Your peace. God, I ask You now just to help us to understand, Lord, what it means to really focus, Lord, on You. God, to really understand what You are trying to get us to do and how You're getting us to live. Help us, God, to remember that don't use the Lord's name in vain or don't misuse the Lord's name. It's so much more than about the choice of a few words. It's about a lifestyle. God, it's the way we treat other people. It's the way we view You. God, change our hearts and our minds. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I know that Ricky asked you earlier today to fill out your connection card. And you know, I know, and I'm sympathetic on this. This is an area of life. This whole idea of language and what we say, that's a tough thing. That is a tough thing because we are around people. We do have influences from our past. We have developed habits that can be difficult, to break. But here's what I want to do today. I want you to just check on that card. If you want prayer, if you want our prayer team to really pray for you, you acknowledge today that cleaning up my mouth is a big deal, cleaning up my language. But not only cleaning up my language, but also cleaning up the way I act toward other people and the way I treat them and the way that I hold God in terms of reverence, that I need help on that, and I want you to pray for me. I just want to encourage you, please, just check on that card where it says, I'm accepting God's challenge today. Or just let us know if you want a call from someone on the prayer team or one of our pastors, anybody who can help you with that. Because this is a big deal. I would encourage you to put that on there and leave it with us as you leave today. Father, help these people, Lord, all of us, myself included, God, to have a higher standard, to begin to understand the name of Jesus as the standard for our speech and as the standard for our behavior. Move us, God, beyond where we are today. Help us, Lord, to really understand You more and know You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for being here today. I want to ask you to do something for me. If you have a child and they're not registered yet for Vacation Bible School, you need to go right back yonder. We had a little video, but I don't think we have time for it. We'll show it next week. Right back yonder to the table, to the right of the door going out, and register them, pre-register them. We need to know for supplies and all that good stuff. Vacation Bible School starts not this week, but next week. And we need to know about your kids' attendance. We want them there. They will have a great time. We promise you that. The other thing is just have a great week, a wonderful week. Don't forget we've got baptism coming up next month, early in the month, the swim party. And then we've got the Burlington Royals thing, I think, toward the end of August. A couple of things to look forward to this summer. Don't forget to drop your Integrity Connection cards in the boxes on either side of the door in the back, along with your tithes and your offerings. And have a great day and a great week. And we'll see you real soon. Bye-bye.